phenomenal beings with the power to communicate. Review movies and television. Bring you the news and say things funny. Streaming to the internet at the speed of light, 96 KBS. For the next few hours, the superhost, Anime Mistress of the Dorks, Dave with a unique perspective. And their core mission, of righting that which is wrong, educate the ignorant, and say things funny. You can join the show on the website at geekworldradio.com. Begin!
Hey guys, you're listening to Geek World on Indie 100, The Point in El Ave. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime, Mistress of the Dork, and the man who never stops talking, Dave! Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com, and be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com, for all the great stuff that's there. Check out all the stuff on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/geekworldradio. Be sure to subscribe, because we will be putting up more stuff,
yeah,
I promise.
We swear. It's going to happen.
I know every week we swear it,
yeah,
and
but
we already told you something was supposed to go up, and it hasn't yet, but it
hasn't,
will.
It hasn't, yeah.
I mean, we're just keeping you guessing.
Yeah, exactly. You never know what's going to happen, you know?
We have videos that are supposed to go up that will.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes, they're in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the queue, y'all.
So to speak.
This is going to be a fun show.
It is.
We have spent a lot of time researching this topic.
Well, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're doing something that's, you know, it's funny because if you listen to our show, you know, we sometimes fall into, randomosity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just go kind of talking about nothing.
Go about
tangents. So it seems like we never have any sort of idea what we're talking about before we go in, but often we have quite the plan.
Yeah.
Before we walk in here and record the show. But you know what? Rules are meant to be broken, and we decide that we're doing a bit of an open show for you and I. This is called Free Swim.
Yes.
This episode, we're just going to talk about whatever we feel like.
Yeah.
There's no plan, okay? Like, the pilot has died.
Yeah.
And the plane is going towards the mountain, and we need to snicks on the plane-esque get out of here.
If I want to do somersaults into the pool, I can.
Yeah.
Because it's free swim.
It is free swim. You can do whatever you want.
If you want to
urinate in the pool, you can.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
you
shouldn't.
Definitely probably can. You probably have already.
You shouldn't, but
congratulations.
You can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that thing real where they put a dye in the pools so someone urinates it, like, comes out like dark blue or something?
I think something like that exists,
yeah.
But did pools use it? No.
No, okay, because I saw that in like a trailer for a movie. I'm like, I don't think that's real.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much.
Yeah.
So, I got some stuff I want to talk about.
Okay.
So, you start off. Okay. So, I've noticed like a trend over the last, remarkably few months where
okay.
I have either read on the internet or talked to people who know people that are uber prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I read on Reddit about this guy. I was talking about how his friend, like, sunk all his money into, like, rations and, you know, buying a katana blade and taking classes to use it and buying ammo and guns and all this stuff to the point where he told his friend, like, dude, if the zombies don't come, I'm pretty screwed. And then the other day I was talking to a guy who was telling me about the fact that his mom is completely believes that there
right.
will be a zombie apocalypse and that she is, you know, as getting as prepared as she can be for this. So it started making me wonder, you know, obviously you can just say, oh, people are crazy or whatever. But it started making me wonder, like, do people want there to be a zombie apocalypse? Like, have we reached such a postmodern sort of difficult to live society in America, at least, like that people fundamentally want there to be a zombie apocalypse to like wipe the slate clean?
I mean, I don't doubt that there are people that actually want that for whatever
right?
sick reason they want it. I think for a lot of people, they just believe that there's going to be an apocalypse of some kind. There's
right.
going to be some reason that they're going to need their fallout shelter.
Yeah.
And a zombie apocalypse is something that's easier to get a grasp on because,
yes.
you know, it's like, oh, movies have told me what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, you go for the brain, you don't get bitten, you know? And so that's easier than, oh, yeah, it's an airborne pathogen.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fight that.
100%. I mean, I feel like, you know, after 9/11, superhero movies got huge, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's really always interesting is the fact that the original teaser for Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie, had the Twin Towers in it. And then by the time the movie came out, the Twin Towers had fallen. And so, you know, there was this very clear point at which superhero movies became popular. And a lot of that, I think, was because of we needed a hero, you know, mm-hmm. at the time where this, you know, horrible thing had happened. But also, you know, when it comes to, like, terrorist groups and stuff, you know, it's not black and white.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell who the enemy is. It's very confusing. It's not like World War II where the bad guys wore swastikas and the good guys didn't, you know? And I feel like that's part of this sort of fantasy about a zombie
By the
thing.
Way, if you're wearing a swastika now, you are the bad guy.
Yeah,
Just FYI.
Yeah, I really doubt any white supremacists are listening to our show. But
in case
just
anyone
in case,
flips the channel to it.
You suck. Yeah, yeah.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah, don't wear those. But I think it's the same thing with the zombie stuff. I feel like, you know, in this world right now, it's like people are making, like, no money. They're angry. They want to fight. But who do they fight? They can't fight anybody. The only people that are going to hurt are other people suffering like them. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't get to the 1% to hurt them or whatever. And so I feel like in a zombie apocalypse, it's like, you know who the bad guy is.
Right.
It's the zombies. You know what I mean? Like, once in a while, like, you know, there'll be people you have to get with, but it's not really, like, confusing. There's the zombies and the evil people trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And you and the good people. And I feel like that sort of simplicity is something that is very alluring to people. Because it's funny, because at first it's like, no, of course people don't want that to happen. Because it is much more logical for something like for a disease or a pathogen or you know, nuclear war to happen. But yeah, I think zombie apocalypse is the thing that people think they can handle, right?
Especially because, like you said, you know what you're fighting. You know who to fight, and that, like, you know, you kill the zombies because that's, you know, otherwise they will kill you. When it's a disease or something, you can't just go around beheading people.
True.
You know?
Yeah, also, I feel like, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Alan Moore lately talking about magic, which is really weird.
Not The Gathering.
No. And, you know, I certainly can't explain it very well because I only understand half of what he's talking about. But he talks about, like, magic only happens in the mind, you know? There isn't such a thing. You can't, like, go zap and turn somebody into a bunny rabbit, you know? But he does talk about the fact that, you know, the people that can really use magic are the people that influence people via the media, you know, because magic is really using symbols and stuff to sort of draw people to a certain thing.
Well, isn't that like the whole, like, Pepe the Frog thing?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought about after I listened to him, because you're right. I mean, and someone wrote an article about that whole, like, cult of Pep or whatever. It is 100% like, I'm not saying it's true, but it's something that, you know, people can believe. And I feel like, anyway, the whole reason I'm bringing this up is, like, you know, The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah.
It's been popular for so many years now. Like, the number one show for many, many years. And, you know, you bring that stuff into your living room, like, every week, and all of a sudden, you know, it becomes part of your reality.
Yeah.
And especially, like, on a Sunday, when you're most vulnerable. Sunday night, you're most vulnerable. Because Monday morning is, like, the worst.
Yeah.
You gotta wake up and go to work and start the week. And, you know, it's so far from the weekend. So far from the next episode of The Walking Dead. So at the very vulnerable time, you know, it's like Jesse Eisenberg in that zombie movie Zombieland. It's like when you're taking a crap is when you're most vulnerable to zombies.
Right.
Sunday night is when you're most vulnerable to drama on TV. That's why they have, like, Game of Thrones there, and they have, like, The Walking Dead there, you know? And it's sick how they preyed upon us like that. Isn't it, though?
I guess.
Isn't it really sick?
Do
you think, though, that a zombie apocalypse is going to happen?
I mean, it's... I don't really believe in the whole zombie thing, but that's the thing. It's like, if there ever is some sort of zombie-like outbreak, it is going to be some sort of pathogen. It's going to be some sort of disease, you know? Maybe it's going to be like in I Am Legend, in the movie I Am Legend, where you know, an attempt to have a vaccine or a cure for cancer,
right?
You know, has incredibly unintended consequences, or maybe the government, you know, some government somewhere trying to create a weapon,
yep,
you know, or weaponize people.
Well, it turns into that. That's why I was like 28 days later. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very feasible way for that whole thing to start, mm-hmm. because it's just an outbreak movie, but it happens to be like, you know, rabies killing people.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. All right. So what about you? You got something?
The other thing though about a zombie apocalypse,
yeah.
is that when you really think about it, you know, kind of like in 28 weeks later, you know, zombies,
yeah.
they can't
starring Jeremy Renner. Sorry.
They can't survive forever. You know, it's
yeah.
like they, the whole thing is that their bodies are dying and
right.
rotting.
Desiccating,
and so at some
yeah.
point they completely desiccate. At some point, like, you know, they'll try and move and their legs will just fall off.
Yeah.
You know, they'll, and so because of that, once again, it's like, if you can hide away for enough time for the bodies to, you know, get, like, you know, if you're in a warm place,
yeah,
I mean, you're kind of in luck, because the bodies are going to desiccate a lot quicker, and you can probably hide away for long enough.
That's fair, yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And in reality, you know, unless it is some sort of crazy rage rabies thing, like, they're not going to be able to get through your door.
So you just gonna wait them out, basically.
I mean,
yeah.
In a real situation, if it's, like, some, you know, someone who's essentially undead,
yeah.
Yeah, you can really wait them out.
Yeah, let's yeah. do it. Let's just find a bunker or a mall, maybe.
Yeah.
Just, you know, have the time of our lives.
Yeah.
That'd be great. What about you? You got something you want to chat about?
No.
Really?
No,
so it's
nothing.
Just going to be me
no.
doing everything
this,
on the show?
You,
like always, by the way.
I'm going to need you to handle this.
Yeah.
No, let's talk a little bit about, like, 80s nostalgia.
Oh,
you
boy.
You know, because...
You mean... 20, well, I was going to say 2018, but really I could say pretty much everything from 2010 on
yeah.
has been nothing but a world of 80s nostalgia, to the point where I'm like, guys, I'm good.
Yeah.
You can be nostalgic about some other period of time if you'd like. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Ready Player One is going to be coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all about, like, you know, late 70s, 80s nostalgia. You know, it's all sorts of stuff from there that, I mean, I guess some of the stuff from the movie is a little, also goes a little beyond the 80s, it seems like, but,
You know that commercial that they just had, on the big game with, Steven Tyler, and they made
yeah.
him, they youthified him? You know, we've seen those special effects before in Marvel movies, and they're done better than they were there, but...
Of course.
But seeing him young like that, with a sort of only okay effects... That's kind of how I feel every time I watch a trailer for Ready Player One.
Huh.
I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
But I'm a little worried. I'm
yeah.
just a little worried. And listen, part of it is, we almost did a show, actually, I think, about like, talking about Ready Player One, but also just sort of, you know, these movies are, that sci-fi movies, particularly, that are based on books. You know, it's always
and
like...
And then we were like... Oh,
that's literally everyone.
Yeah.
yeah, well, except for some of the really major ones. But it's like, you get to a point where you're sort of like, you know, it's hard for me to describe. I'm a little concerned. I gotta be honest, just a little concerned.
Mm.
And it's weird, because you'd think with, like, Steven Spielberg and everything, like, yeah, no problem, right? But I don't know, there's something about it.
You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Like, cautious optimism.
Yes,
you
let's
know?
Do that, yeah.
Let's have that, because... You know, like most things, you're not going to be better than the book,
yeah,
per se.
Right.
But that being said, if they can do a good job of making the movie, like, awesome and fun,
yeah.
then, you know.
You know what I do like about what I've seen from the movie, though, is the fact that they're... Even if they can't get, like, every property that's mentioned in the book,
like,
you know,
Spider-Man.
Like Spider-Man, that they're gonna, they're supplementing that with, like, other stuff, like,
oh, yeah.
Overwatch characters.
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's a smart way to do it. It's a good way to handle it.
Yeah.
And it also makes us that they can do the tie-ins they need to.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But 80s nostalgia.
80s nostalgia. So, you know, obviously for people like us, like, we're of the right age
yeah.
for to have those feelings and to be like, yeah, 80s nostalgia stuff. But what about, like, you know, our younger friends? Are they excited about 80s nostalgia?
I think, like, maybe they think it's cute. Like, how do you feel, I guess... Yeah, I think they probably think it's cute.
Yeah.
Because think about, like, when you watch movies from, like, the 70s, like that, or that take place in the 70s or 60s.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's so cute. How quaint they were. Look at, like, them, their record players and, you know, the cars of the time and how all the funny things they say. I think it's, like, it's a bit like that. I think it's a bit, like, kind of, like... Like, you're a jerk about it a little bit. Because when you think about it, like, younger millennials, like, who were born when computers were commonplace already, mm-hmm. like, it's just, it seems, like, stupid, a world where computers aren't everywhere all the time.
That being said, it's kind of a really smart move for horror movies.
Yeah.
To take place in the 80s and before.
Yes.
Because that's a world without computers. It's a world without cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, in this world with cell phones, you know, even like a decade ago, when we'd see a movie and nobody would have a cell phone, a horror movie, and like they're all running away and no one's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
No one's like taking a picture with their phone. And you're like, what? Like, how out of touch are these filmmakers that they live in a world where no one has their cameras out, that no one has, you know, a cell phone? Like, it seems weird to not. So it's like, it's super smart on the part of things like horror movies to put themselves there.
I totally agree. You know, that's one of the things that makes Stranger Things believable is mm-hmm. the fact that, like, people wouldn't be able to, you're right, like, be able to take the evidence of seeing, like, the monsters mm-hmm. from, you know, from the other dimension and stuff. But, yeah, I think that 80s nostalgia, it's got to be more than just playing to people our age. Because you're right, like, what about the younger people? And I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't really know how that works.
I mean, I guess, in a way, it's interesting because, you know, the 80s were sort of like the spark of the video game and stuff like that. It's like if you go back to the 60s and stuff, it's like there's nobody playing video games.
Right.
Because,
you
know, you don't have home consoles. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
You know? You had pinball, you know, but.
I think, you know what it is, though? I feel like maybe it's sort of like Forrest Gump, right? Like, I love Forrest Gump.
Right.
That movie's great, you know? And probably a lot of the stuff I kind of know about the 60s in particular probably came from Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you learn stuff from, like, you know, you see things on TV once in a while, whatever, but there's always those few, like, movies or TV shows where you kind of get the bulk of your understanding about a certain time and place,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's it, too, that maybe it is, in a weird way, educational?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if not, like, sort of like the arcade, you know, in Stranger Things, and seeing, like, Dragon's Lair and stuff like that, and, you know, the kind of the fashion and the technology at the time, like, it is sort of interesting to look at. It's sort of like why, to a much crazier extent, what I love about the show Taboo, the Tom Hardy show, aside from it just being great and him being great, is that I feel like that period of time is not done as much in England. You know, it was sort of, what is it like? It's like 1805 or something, right? Or like 1795 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's after, like, America has established itself as its own thing.
Or, like, 1850. It's, like, it's very early 1800s, like, 1813, something like that. Usually, you know, something's either in the middle of the Revolutionary War, especially if it's in America,
mm-hmm.
or if it's in England, it's always, like, it's literally always 1890.
Right.
It's always the turn of the century, it's always Jack the Ripper, you know? And so, the fact that Taboo, I almost felt, like, hopeless in Taboo, because we're not even going to get to the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Like, but these people are all going to age out and die before Jack the Ripper even happens.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. So for me, it was like this exotic thing. Like, it almost felt like watching a movie that takes place in the future because it's so great. Or like when we watched the original series Rome.
Yeah.
That was so powerful about Rome is they made it feel so modern. You remember the pilot of Rome, a guy does brain surgery in like ancient Rome, and you're like, what am I watching?
But at the same time, that stuff did actually happen.
But I don't think I would have believed that if I read it in a textbook.
Yeah.
But somehow seeing them do it in the show and how they did it,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I get how that actually existed.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with the younger viewers, but that's a really good question. You're like, are the people that are like 15 right now watching, like, I mean, Ready Player One's going to be more digestible because they're being nostalgic about something way in the past anyway.
Right.
But yeah, maybe like something like Stranger Things, or maybe they don't care. I don't know.
And that being said, you know, at what point does that nostalgia even come into play? Like, is there a certain number of decades that need to pass? Because, like, you know, that show, that 70s show.
Yeah.
You know, it was the Stranger Things of its time, but not, like, not in a good, like, not in the way of being an amazing thing, of being, like, that nostalgia for an era. You know?
Maybe it's,
But, like, do you remember they tried to do that 80s show? It was sort of a spin-off of that.
It was too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, at what point did the 80s then, you know, hit that point where it was like, okay, now the 80s?
Yeah. It's got to be, like, I guess it's got to be, like 25 to 30-year difference. Because if you think about it, probably, like, you know, Forrest Gump came out in the 90s. It was about the 60s. Mm. And so, you know, like, maybe that's the thing. Like, Back to the Future was about the 50s and came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh my God, maybe we're figuring something out here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
So that 30-year gap.
It's a 30-year gap,
it's just enough time for the kids that grew up in there to be, like, adults to actually have that looking back nostalgia.
And that disposable income and them wanting to also share with their children something that was about their time.
Okay.
Oh man, we just unlocked... We unlocked reality.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like it's in our hands now.
It's an interesting thing because I feel like in that same respect, that kind of amount of years is also about the amount of years that they should take before, like, remaking or rebooting something.
Yeah.
You know, they don't.
Right.
They wait a lot shorter. But I feel like that's actually the right amount of time because...
Yeah.
You know, because technology has changed so much by that point in time. A whole different audience is available to see this new thing.
Well, it's what they did for Thing.
Yeah.
You know, and sadly, it's what they did for Blade Runner 2049. But I honestly think, like, I think the biggest problem with Blade Runner 2049 is that it had anything to do with the Deckard story.
Yeah.
I think they could have just made this world by itself.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't have to be connected to the original story, the original movie. Because the idea should be that the world is interesting.
Right.
Not just these characters are interesting.
That's true.
But yeah, well, and also I think 30 years is... I think officially would be considered a generation, right?
I guess.
Because at that point, like, usually people have children around, you know, somewhere in their 20s through, you know, mid-30s. So I guess that would also make sense, too, in a generational sense. But yeah, it's the 30 years. Yeah, I don't know, though. I feel like 80s nostalgia has been a big thing over the last few years, very much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's... Sometimes I wonder what the point is, though. You know, like, Stranger Things, I get. Stranger Things, like, is very of... See, there was a lot of stuff that came out in the 80s that was like Stranger Things, you know, like Dead Zone, like Firestarter. You know, there were things... There were already movies, E.T. There were movies and stuff like that, so I sort of get that. But I think when it comes to... Wow, I totally lost track of what I was going to say. Never mind. Whatever. I totally lost track of what I was going to say.
This is free swim, so it's okay.
Free swim, it's okay, yes.
So, well, then, take the challenge, Dave. Take the free swim. It's your free swim now.
So, okay, I was going to write an article about this.
Okay.
And I haven't yet. And
you
I
still should.
Still should, but I, just in case I don't, I'm going to mention it. And I don't want to put you on the spot, so I'm gonna say what I'm going to say kind of first, but... I am starting to wonder about something. So, I love Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right.
Right? It's, like, one of my favorite games of all time. It's super exceptional in a lot of ways. And it really should be, like, one of the biggest games of last year. I mean, it's huge. And I feel like, aside from the fact that it is, like, a first-party game, it's a PlayStation game, I get that. But, you know, PlayStation did want a lot of people have it. I noticed recently a lot of guys, some my age, some, you know, a little older, a little younger, I've had the same conversation with, and a lot of them, when I go, yeah, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, they're like, my girlfriend's playing that, and I watched her, and it looks really cool, or my wife's playing that, and I watched it really cool. Now, first off, I love the fact these people's girlfriends and wives are playing video games.
Which is fantastic.
Which is amazing, and one of those weird things that... that people believed for so long wasn't a theme when it was.
Yeah.
That's great. Don't get me wrong. However, I started wondering, like, is there an actual, like, thing that is there an actual sort of, like, I hate to say sexist, but sort of sexist thing that is keeping men from playing Horizon Zero Dawn is is the fact that Aloy is a young girl keeping them from playing what I consider one of the best games ever made.
Well, think about this. You know, with Metroid, they hid the fact that their main character was a woman until the end of the game.
Right.
You got to the end of the game and you find out that Samus is a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, so all of a sudden you got these people that really enjoyed the game, and then all of a sudden they find out they're playing as a woman. That's a company that understood.
They catfished us.
Well, they understood that if they had had, like, the main character, if you knew the whole time, that their audience would have been smaller. The people that played it would have been smaller. It doesn't matter what the game's like. They would have prejudged it, like, by a certain standard because of that. And then, now, you can argue Tomb Raider, okay? Like, that, you know, guys and girls have always played that.
Right.
That being said, you have a character that is highly sexualized.
Right, right.
And that's the whole thing with that character. It's like, oh, you know, I remember guys, like, joking about how, like, oh, yeah, you know, I like when she goes up the ladder. Or when you're above her, you know, it's like, so all these things where you get to sexualize the character. Yeah. And so they get to play it with that little, like, snicker. But with Aloy, she's just a strong woman, a strong young woman who is completely not sexualized.
Yeah, like not at all.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing in the game when male characters hit on her and she's just like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like, great.
Yeah, she's this, like, dope hunter character. Yeah. And she just doesn't get any of that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. You know, I feel like, and I could be wrong, by the way, because actually adults have been playing video games forever, but I feel like, you know, with the Metroid thing, you can make the case that a lot of the people playing Metroid were probably, like, 8-year-old boys that would be, like, a little more, like, you know, less inclined to play as a female.
I mean, but that being said, those 8-year-old kids, it was their parents that allowed them to play what games they played. It's the parents that bought the games, and parents kind of bought into the whole boys things, girls things. If it's a female character, they were probably less likely to buy it for their little boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something of our culture and the way that, you know, people have been brought up for years that really does need to end.
Okay, well, if that's true, it's stupid.
It's incredibly stupid.
Because, like, any guy listening right now who loves action games and has a PlayStation, if you're not playing Horizon Zero Dawn, you're missing out on what is most likely, at least in my opinion, the best action game on PlayStation. Yeah. It is phenomenal.
It's great.
In every way. The graphics are unreal. The actual combat mechanics are nuts. The actual things you're fighting are crazy. The story is great. Mm-hmm. The open world is so dynamic and so large. And, like, and that's the thing. Like, it drives me bananas that, like, Destiny, that was, like, you know, an okay game, you know, got all this, like, sort of, like, this big rollout and all this sort of coverage and all this news, and something like Horizon Zero Dawn, which is legitimately worthy of that kind of thing, is really kind of just this sort of sleeper hit.
Yeah.
And like, it's done well, don't get me wrong, but this game should be, like, Street Fighter 2. This game should be, like, Mortal Kombat. This game should be, like,
or in terms
Halo.
Of,
this game should be exactly. giant. It should be in terms even of, Portal. Is that, I don't even know if it's Portal big. Like, Portal is, like, a giant game, right?
Well, and like you said, like, Halo or, like, Uncharted in terms of the games that are, like, you know, for one system or another, like, it should be as big as those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I didn't say Grand Theft Auto or, like, anything remotely current. I'm like, it should be Galaga.
Yeah.
It should be Pawn. Oh, my God. The other day, I was so weird. I decided to go on YouTube and look up the scenes from that movie, The Wizard, when they play video games. And I found the scene with Lucas and the Power Glove, and I was like, yep, this is my life right here.
Yep.
This is
you love
my,
your Power Glove.
Well, the best part about it is it's so funny. Like, the kids show up, and they go into his living room or whatever, and he's like, you know, he's got, like, three henchmen, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids takes out a, like, metal briefcase.
Yeah.
And, like, opens it, and, like, you know, in there is the Power Glove on its on the foam core. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
this is the funniest thing. Like, and as a kid, you're like, oh, and as an adult, you're like, That is ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, why does he have that suitcase for that thing?
Yeah.
Like, did he create that thing?
Did he steal it from, like, his photographer, big brother, or dad?
I mean, that case is more expensive than that power glove is. I don't know. I get it. I know that, like, judging anything the Wizard does is basically judging a commercial.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it, but still, it's really funny to watch.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm frustrated more people aren't playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I really am.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's the same thing that happened with movies. Like, for the longest time, the idea that an action movie starring a woman couldn't be good or wouldn't get, you know, ticket sales or whatever. And, despite the fact that ones that are that are done well have proven to absolutely do well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Thank God that Twilight came out and changed everything, huh?
Ugh, don't even.
Don't even.
Don't even.
You know, I was going to talk about that, too, of, like, you know, is there anywhere left for vampires to go? Did Twilight ruin vampires for the next decade? Like, vampires just need to, like, go away for a while, right? Like, by the way, that being said, whenever The Walking Dead finally gets no ratings and they cancel it, zombies going to be over for a decade, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless somebody comes up with a new way to do it, or even, you know, in terms of Twilight, you know, for the longest time, there's been so much, like, romance around vampires, you know? I mean, starting with the Anne Rice vampires, really, you know, like,
even the original Dracula, didn't they have, like a romantic thing to it? I think actually, vampires have always had a weird romantic thing to them.
So, like, I mean, I guess the way that it's been taken otherwise is that Guillermo del Toro show, The Strain. That's Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah, they're just straight up monsters.
Yeah, like, that's, I think, the only way that vampires can come back soon.
Which is funny, because they're very much the sort of, they're sort of like how the wraiths in I Am Legend the book are written.
Mm.
They're a little more like, they're less like zombies, but like zombie vampires. Yeah. They're basically like savage vampires.
Yeah. So that being said, you know, I feel like zombies, vampires, and werewolves have kind of been overdone. And I really don't see Frankensteins as becoming
a thing.
I
think Frankensteins are going to be a thing.
But is there a kind of monster that could be like, that is the next thing? Is it just that we're paying attention to, like, large things now, like dinosaur-like monsters, you know?
Yeah.
The Pacific Rims,
dinosaur,
the Jurassic Worlds.
Yeah, and King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
like,
I think large monsters are definitely going to be in right now, because I feel like people are feeling like the doomsday clock is moving up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think people want to see something bigger and scarier, and that being defeated than necessarily, like sort of a smaller thing, but... But I'm not sure how many monsters are sort of left to go. I mean, I feel like the Pokemon thing has not been tapped yet. I feel like the idea of a world full of little monsters that could possibly kill you is like how do I put this? What I like about the book All You Need Is Kill, that they base the great movie Edge of Tomorrow off of, is these kind of weird...
By the way, I know it sounded sarcastic, but he was not being sarcastic when he said that.
What?
You, when you said Edge
of Tomorrow. Oh, I love Edge of Tomorrow. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. But I feel like... I like the way those aliens look, because they almost, like, in the book,
the
way they described them, they were like these...
Bloated frogs,
yeah. I feel like maybe there'll be aliens or goblins or something. I feel like it's going to be something weird like that, maybe?
Something kind of
like... The next monster
or
thing?
Or like the Blob.
Like,
you know,
the blob
is an alien monster.
Yeah, but the Blob sucks.
Like,
the Blob is not
ever
going to be compelling.
No.
The thing needs to be able to communicate somehow.
Okay.
And I feel like I've always thought the Blob was the most, like... annoyingly lazy movie villain of all time. Like, I remember watching The Blob for the 80s version when I was a kid, when I was sick. And I remember just being like, what is this? Like, it's just never scary. I get that it's like a tsunami of death or whatever, but it's just never scary. It really isn't. Like, first off, you could run away from the Blob.
Right.
And then I get that the idea is the Blob's just spread out all over the world.
And once it does that, then you're, like, everyone's dead, so what's there left to live for?
But, like, I don't know. I just feel like the Blob is, like, I don't know. I never found the Blob scary. For me, the stuff that's scary are the things I can think a little bit, you know? But I don't know what the next monster is. I am constantly surprised by how much everything is the same.
Yeah.
I'm constantly surprised at how much it's like, oh, you know, we're just bringing essentially the raptors back in Jurassic World, or, you know, we're just going to, that horrible Universal monster verse they tried to do again with the new Mummy. And it's just, it's tough to do anything, I feel like, that's remotely original. I mean, what they have to do sometimes is just a little off key. Like, I feel like, though fast zombies are not a new thing, World War Z created quasi a different kind of zombie, because they were like almost as, they were like herd mentality fast zombies, where they sort of combine the two things, because the fast zombies in 20 Days Later and Dawn of the Dead, they didn't really like at all work together. They just kind of ran at you, right? And it felt like World War Z, they were like, it was almost like a swarm of flies or something. They were all like combining.
And it was an interesting thing, because they would bypass people with like certain maladies.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. They were only attracted to the clean blooded and pure that they could eat.
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, what do you think? Can you think of any new monsters? I mean, you know, not even like being original, but like, well, it's funny because Guillermo took Creature from the Black Lagoon and made him a Romeo for Shape of Water. So that's kind of out.
Yeah.
We can't really use the Creature from the Black Lagoon in anything anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think we're right now in this world where humans are back to seeming so evil in a lot of ways. And so I think humanoid monsters are things that people don't, they just don't want to see it because it's too, it just feels too close to reality.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's a reason they're making another Purge movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, people believe in, you know, in that stuff. That's the stuff that's really scaring people right now. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like aliens, I feel like aliens are kind of on the way out, frankly. Like,
I think aliens can always come back if they find the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you just need the right properties to take it in a certain direction.
Can I just say, we haven't seen anything but the premiere of this season of The X-Files, which is literally one of the worst things I've ever seen on television.
So bad.
And making
so
it that I'm not even sure I can watch the whole season. But, okay, in the 90s, right, when The X-Files was on, and we had so little aliens before on TV and movies, seeing the little gray aliens in the lab was really awesome.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Totally. I mean,
2018, seeing the little gray aliens in a lab looks stupid.
Yeah.
Like, incredibly, audaciously stupid.
I mean, it doesn't help any that, like, People of Earth is so awesome and a comedy and sort of mocks all that stuff. I mean, that definitely plays into it. But yeah, you're right. It's like, they didn't do anything to make it seem any cooler or different. And I mean, in a way, like, I kind of get that. It's like, no, same aliens. But at the same time, it's like, no, update your stuff. Just update things.
Yeah. You know what I am actually surprised by, though? They don't have a lot of, you know what kind of monster interests me a little bit?
What?
Is sort of what Wesker became in Resident Evil. Like, this idea of just a super person. Someone who is basically, like, very fast, very unstoppable. I mean, they do stuff like that, obviously. But like, a pathogen sort of creating that. It's a little interesting, but I don't know. Maybe it's just that Wesker was interesting at this point.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say, honestly.
You know, the other interesting thing is something like Westworld, you know,
like,
or like we were talking about with Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, it's like robots being villains, and you can take that in different directions. You know, Horizon Zero Dawn, they're these animal-like robots and, you know, just monsters. And in Westworld, it's these humanoid robots, which obviously Westworld is based on the movies and stuff from earlier, but
Well, it's funny because, you know, all the, like, employees of, like, Six Flags and Disneyland, they're watching Westworld and they're like, robots are taking our jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, AI is always a really good source for villains because you can make AI as human as you want. Often they're very human, if not superhuman. You know, and it goes from Westworld to Battlestar Galactica, you know, to the Matrix. I mean, AI, and AI is becoming more and more of a scary reality, and everybody's sort of like, don't do this, but everyone also knows that everybody's like doing it, and it's like a really weird situation. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what's gonna happen. It's funny because I feel like the whole Skynet thing is as preposterous as it's not. You know what I mean? I feel like the idea of the world coming to an end because of an advanced AI is as like unlikely as it's likely, which is really weird.
Yeah,
it's very strange to me. Like my analog 80s brain.
Yeah.
From when I was a baby is like, that's impossible.
Uh-huh.
My like, you know, post Trump election, this world is crazy. Advanced science brain goes, that's very possible.
I mean, it's an interesting thing because, like, from movies and stuff, there's always this idea that, you know, oh, you know, it's programmed in that they can't hurt humans.
Right.
And so they sort of, their way around that is to, like, you know, oh, I'm not hurting the humans, I'm using the humans and helping them by making them happier, even though they're now, like, in servitude or whatever. But it's like, okay, if people are worried about that, then just use that in your programming. Like, program all that stuff. Like,
right.
Don't, you know, you can't hurt humans. They should be able to live, you know, live their lives and, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly there's going to be robots for service jobs, and they'll be able to contain that kind of, but you know what? There's also glitches. You know, I read a really interesting thing the other day about how when Garry Kasparov was playing chess against Deep Blue, there was in one of their games, Deep Blue did this move that was completely counterintuitive and that made no sense in it winning. And he said that when it made that move, it threw him off because it didn't make sense that it would make that move. And they found out later that it was just a glitch.
That's so crazy.
It just happened and it wasn't supposed to happen. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you could program this stuff to the end of the days.
Yeah.
But if there's a glitch, it's a glitch. There's no sort of morality in a machine. There's no, like, it could literally just, like, screw up by mistake and kill everything and kill everybody. And also, you know, I believe in, like, the idea with Horizon Zero Dawn and, you know, with other things, too, of just, like, you know, killer robots are a thing that are being developed by other countries right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably being developed by our country, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very clear possibility in 10 years there will be killer robots on battlefields.
Yeah.
Like killing human beings and then eating their biomass in order to, like, energize themselves. So they've already built robots that do that. That eat the corpses of the dead on battlefields to power themselves.
I mean, it's going to be... That's a weird thought. The thought of, like what is going to happen when one country, you know, lets something like that loose and then another country also does against them. And all of a sudden, there aren't even humans on the battlefield. Like, does that just perpetuate war or does that stop it? You know? It's like, when everyone's like, this is ridiculous. Like,
well, I feel like it makes it... It kind of becomes a zero-sum game at that point, because then, really, I feel like if people don't die, things don't change, right? So you're right. If robots are just slamming into one another forever, and there's no human toll, they're just going to slam into each other forever.
Like, is that the bizarre way to peace, you know?
It's like Star Trek episode where people, the two planets at war in essentially a computer simulation.
Yep.
And then they would just take people to the gas chambers or whatever. Because
that was the agreed upon method. Yeah. It's such a bizarre thing.
My favorite part about that episode is every time I was just like, why don't you just lie?
Yeah.
Why don't you be like, yeah, we just killed like 40,000 of our people. Oh, bummer, man.
Yeah.
You guys killed your guys, right? You did? Okay, good. All right. It's like, it didn't even seem like there was anyone from the other planet to make sure they killed that amount of people.
Yeah.
Like, just lie. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
No, you know. But there was honor in their warfare.
I guess.
Clearly, yeah. No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's just such an interesting thing. Because, like, would the robots be programmed to, like, defeat, you know, anything in their path in order to go kill the people, you know?
I feel like it, right?
Because, but if you're able to keep on making robots to hold them off, you know,
No, you're right. That's going to be a really weird battle war, like, yeah. And then is it just a game of, is it just BattleBots?
Yeah.
You're like, my BattleBots will be your BattleBots for the, no, see, that's the thing. It has to, It has to leech in. And that's how we, yeah, that's
because that's the thing, like, the humans are always going to be the problem with that, yeah. too. It's like, you know, it's then going to be a spy game. It's going to be infiltration into yeah. other places' governments and, like, you know, sowing seeds of discontent. And,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. Too much like the real world now. So sad. So sad. Mm. You know, I want to talk about something else, too. I've noticed a recent trend, and I think part of this is just sort of, I don't want to be like old man on the porch, but I think sometimes, you know, our social media, our internet life, it's a bit like Pandora's box in a way, mm-hmm. where, like, there's almost too much access to everyone being able to communicate their thoughts, no mm-hmm. matter how deranged to the world. And I feel like one of the newer trends I haven't really been happy with is this sort of thing where a lot of directors have had to kind of multiply sort of defend their work more lately than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
For example, is Rian Johnson. I have seen countless articles and interviews of him basically defending elements of what he did in The Last Jedi. I also noticed that with Denis Villeneuve, with mm-hmm. Blade Runner 2049, having to kind of, like, you know, talk about why he think the movie didn't do as well as it should have and stuff. And I honestly think that it's a shame that's even a thing that, like, I get that, like, you know, they're going to be asked questions, they're going to be interviewed, but I always kind of like that thing, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino, like, Tarantino, actually, to an extent, you don't hear much from him, but, you know, you think of, like, back with Kubrick, you know, like, he was one of those filmmakers that did no interviews, very rarely talked about their film, and I just kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe, I just feel like it sucks that we expect these guys of constantly having to, like, placate what we didn't like about their film.
Yeah.
Like, their film speaks for itself. If you didn't like it, that's fine. You can say you didn't like it, but expecting them to continually having to defend their work, I feel like, is weird and sycophantic.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, there, you know, there were the critics. There
yeah.
were, like, it was a specified group of people. Everyone's voice wasn't heard,
yeah.
you know, which is good in some ways, bad in some ways. In another, like, way to think about it, the directors are making the choice to answer these questions or
yeah.
to defend their stuff rather than letting the art speak for itself. But we're also in this world where all of a sudden people can't distinguish between opinions and facts.
Right.
And that's, like, somehow opinions are being treated like facts
yeah.
when they shouldn't
and
be.
And with the same level of importance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say that your opinion, you know, just because you feel some way about a fact
yeah.
makes your opinion a valid argument to a fact.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And that's seeping in all kinds of regards and all kinds of, like, you know, moments in our society right now is,
mm-hmm.
you know, people deciding that, you know, they didn't like something leading to, like, you know, accusations to people about certain things. Like, it's pretty wild right
yeah.
now. Like, the amount of sort of malleability of truth
yeah.
at the moment is shocking and it's frightening.
It should be something that people care more about. That, like,
yeah.
you know, facts are facts. Like, that should be something that just is and that people defend. That
yeah.
people fight to defend reality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. And I guess I don't know anymore, because when I was a kid, there was newspapers and there were newscasters, and generally I felt like they all sort of agreed on stuff. And then they'd have, like, little moments of having, like, opinion pieces,
mm-hmm.
But there wasn't any sort of, it felt everything was sort of, the message was clear, sort
yeah.
of, like, what happened, what went down, even if there was a bit of a, once in a while, you know, there was cover-ups, obviously, from different groups, but now it's like, you know, one news story and all these different groups and they're completely different.
Yep.
And you don't know who to believe and there's obviously bias on both ends and it is very difficult to distinguish anymore.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be that way. Right now is supposed to be the age of Aquarius. Right now is supposed to be the age of the truth is out there. You
yeah.
know, we can discern what the truth is.
The truth
it's
is out there.
There,
but we're a group of lazy humans
yeah.
that don't want to discern.
Yeah, well,
that don't want to do the research.
I feel like now the truth is like a person wearing all white in a snowstorm and the Uber driver is trying to find them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just like, it's there, but like, good luck
yeah.
seeing it.
Yeah.
So
I've been thinking about something lately.
Really?
So VR.
Yeah.
Virtual reality, it's something that, you know, people are starting to look into for actual, like, storytelling. You
yeah.
know, for, in a narrative function.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to...
In pornography.
To, I mean, probably,
certainly,
yeah, that
yeah.
too. But
definitely,
but in,
yeah.
in regular film as well.
Sure.
And so I've been sort of trying to think, like, you know, what does that mean for storytelling? Like,
yeah.
and what does that mean for directing? Like, when you're directing something for VR, you kind of have to assume that, theoretically, you know... someone isn't necessarily going to be looking where you want them to be looking.
Right.
You know, like, dudes might be talking and people are just like, ooh, look at that wall over there.
Yeah.
Look at the picture to my right. Look at the thing behind me.
Right.
Look at the ceiling. Look at the floor. So
it's a less controlled environment. Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing because, like, directors are going to have to, like, you know, have cues and sort of try and direct people to look where they want them to look.
Yeah.
You know, but beyond that, there's going to have to be so much more thinking about design and maybe designing everything in, like, in the room to hint at the things that the person is saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. It's funny because do you remember we're at Comic-Con? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but we did that Suicide Squad VR experience where we basically were able to... That one scene where they were in the office building fighting, we were able to see it in 360
yeah.
and kind of look around and stuff. And I remember, like... And I think this is to answer one of your questions. One of the interesting things about it is I wanted to do it a few times because I was always looking at something different.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, there's almost more replayability when you do VR because you're always going to be focused on different things to have a different experience every time as opposed to a video game that might kind of, like, put you on rails.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Like, how to direct someone towards a thing to do in a video game... You know, there's a few ways to do it. Now, are you talking about video games or, like, watching a movie?
No, movie. Because there is now
yeah.
this move in, like, just narrative storytelling, not gameplay. And granted, you know, if you're doing that, then theoretically the person is going to be sitting. Their mobility is at least limited. You know, they're not going to be walking around. Their looking around is not going to be quite as much because, you know, turning around in your seat is not easy.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, there's this, like, whole idea of how you have to design things and even what kind of stories work best for that. Like, you know, a mystery story could be great for that kind of thing because you can set clues all over and people can sort of be looking around and you know, you might miss the clue because you weren't looking around.
Well, it's funny because I wonder if at some point, like, can they, like, if you're dawdling too much, can they somehow push your view to where they want you to go?
That's a good question.
Or does that break the construct of where everything is already?
Yeah.
Like, if they tilt the view now and, like, you're pointing left, but you're no longer looking at the left that was the left before? I don't even know how VR games get made.
I mean, the thing is, I guess if, like... If you're just watching it alone, that's one thing. But
yeah.
if it's, like, a movie situation... I mean, I guess that would be weird, because, no, people wouldn't sit in a theater and do that.
I don't know how a VR movie would work.
Yeah.
I really don't, because movies are passive entertainment.
Well, I think
they will always be passive entertainment, and VR tends to be games, which is not passive, are things that you actually play. So I can't imagine it being anything but something that you're actually playing.
Right.
I mean, probably the closest thing is sort of what they did in that one level in Ready Player One, where you sort of played out a movie scene.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? And that was probably something they could do, you know, they could probably figure out a way to do it now, I mean, theoretically, but, yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
How do you break those boundaries? How do you break those chains?
I mean, because I think there actually are some things coming out soon that are trying to do that, and so I'm curious, like, where, you know, where the world of virtual reality goes with that, and you know, how... adoptable is it, and at what point do people start, you know, actually considering, you know, using VR? Is it just the simple fact that you don't have to have the giant backpack anymore?
Yeah.
You know, or, yeah
no, VR always interests me because I feel like until there's a way that, like, you and I can share an experience together, it's going to be tough for me to jump on a VR.
Yeah.
Because VR is such a secluded experience at the moment. And whatever happened, didn't Facebook buy Oculus Rift and was to change the world or something with their VR?
Who knows?
It's very strange. I don't know what happened with that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. You know, it's funny. VR has been the promise we were given as children, you know, with, like, Lawnmower Man. And, you know, every kid of the 90s had, like, one kid had a VR thing at their birthday party that was a giant, like, circular stand that you got in. And it was, like, so ridiculous. It was just, like, pixels. You would shoot, you know, at pixels with your little laser gun. But it was cool. It was VR, and it felt really, like, space age. And it's been the promise for a long time, and they're making huge strides. Like, it's great, whatever we're seeing, but I don't know where we're gonna go with it. Honestly, it's cool, but I also feel like it's just a thing. Like, you remember how it felt like the Kinect was gonna change everything, and now the Kinect isn't even a thing they're doing right now,
which is so sad. Because, but once again, it's like with a lot of technologies, it's like you have to get it perfect before, and it has to be perfect for, like, a small room, a big room, to make it mass usable. I mean, the Wii was the perfect thing because anyone could use it. Yeah. You could use it in, like, any size room.
Yeah. Well, I also think baby steps. You know, I think anytime you try to bite off, like, a lot at once, you tend to fail. Yeah. I think the things that kind of make slow, like, smaller gains tend to actually adapt better than things that are like, this is a brand new thing that'll change the world forever! Because all of a sudden you become cost prohibitive, too, if you have to buy, like, every piece of gear. Like, that was part of the thing that sank the Xbox, is making the Kinect a necessary thing all of a sudden was like, wait, what? Like, I have to spend extra money to have this Kinect thing?
Yeah, and it's also like making it so you had to be online.
Yeah, like, when you buy a PlayStation, you have to buy their stupid wand.
Yeah.
You could buy it if you wanted to, but you didn't have to pay extra for it to come with the system.
Sure. Got any more quick ones?
Yeah, what would happen? Would you be okay if they were like, we're replacing Ben Affleck as Batman right now?
You know, I would have said no after Batman Superman, because despite the fact that movie was trash, there was so much promise for what he could be. But then Justice League came and it was like, why are you even here?
I'm like, I don't know if Ben Affleck's a great actor or if, like, he legitimately doesn't want to be in those movies. I can't tell.
Yeah. But if they were to replace him, it would have to be with a perfect person. I don't know who exactly, but it would have to be so perfect, their casting. You know?
Well, it's funny because the rumor's been for a while Jake Gyllenhaal, which I think he'd be great.
I think he'd be great, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a wonderful actor, and he's still actually kind of the perfect age to play Batman, and he's, you know, he can get in great shape. So, yeah, I mean, I would be okay with that, but yeah, I agree with exactly what you said. I feel like he showed a lot of promise in BVS, probably because he was the only shining light in that thing. And then the last one was just like, oh, Justice League was so bad.
Yeah, well, and that being said, does Batman have to be Bruce Wayne? Could it be Nightwing, you know, stopping being Nightwing to take over for Batman? I kind of feel like if it's not Bruce Wayne, people would be really confused.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think Nightwing is a non-starter.
But can they bring Nightwing into the whole thing?
I think Nightwing would be a giant CW show.
Mm.
I think if you made a Nightwing show where Robin became like Nightwing but Batman wasn't in the show, it would be huge. People would love that show. Yeah. But I don't think Nightwing works as Batman. I also don't think he works as his own movie.
Interesting.
Honestly, yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I mean, you don't want to watch a Watson show, do you?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like Nightwing was when Robin stopped being a sidekick.
Yeah, I know, but
yeah.
But like, but if Sherlock died and Watson became a private detective, you still wouldn't want to watch the Watson show.
Because Watson can't do the things that Sherlock can do, but Nightwing can do a lot of the things Batman can.
Well, but then you run into that issue, don't you? Is like, if Nightwing is as good as Batman, then what's great about Batman?
He's rich. I mean, that's kind of the problem in a world of superheroes.
Well, that's what happened with Justice League. Yeah. I was like, you know what? You guys suck, okay? Because Batman is so much cooler than just a rich guy.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, though he doesn't have powers, it's true.
I mean, but that's the funny thing. It's like in Marvel with Iron Man, they took that and they're like, no, this is how...
He's still... No, he's a genius. Yeah. He's
Which
awesome.
Is so funny because that's kind of the thing. Batman is supposed to also be a genius yeah. and the world's greatest detective.
Yeah, no, he's just terrible. He's yeah. so terrible.
I wish they would play into the greatest detective thing, though. Like, yeah. I wish they would, because that is one of his powers. Like, his mind, his perception of things, the way that he can, like, you know, read a situation.
Yeah.
Use
well,
that.
They tried to do that, but Zack Snyder can't make a movie. So, like, BVS, we were supposed to believe, like, oh, wow, he's so impressive because he figured out Diana's secret.
But, yeah, but like, they didn't actually really show up.
That's what I'm saying. Zack yeah. Snyder doesn't want to make a movie, yep. and so it fell flat.
Yeah.
Like, everything he does.
Yeah.
With the
yeah.
exception of 300, which somehow was awesome, and just, like, you know, in spite of him.
Yeah, well, show us him actually detecting rather than just, like, you know, stealing files from Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
It's fine. It's all fine, everybody.
Is it though? Is it really fine?
No, it really isn't okay. Okay? It really isn't okay. And I'm kind of sick and tired of it, honestly.
I hear that.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I think free swim's over.
What?
Yeah, free swim's over.
But we only swam for a little bit.
Yeah, well, we can swim again some other day.
We shall swim again.
Guys, don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. And be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com. We'll be back with you next week. Same time, same place. Geek World.